you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, everyone. It's Valentine's
Day.
Where's
my chocolate?
Yeah, no chocolate. Actually, I just think I was telling you about one of those, I don't know, news feeds or something. There was a picture of this woman, you know, down on the ground with one of these, like, sniper rifles. With, and it said, forget the chocolate. A dozen Valentine's gifts for the tactical tough gal in your life.
That's like tactical tough gal.
Yeah, so I don't know who that would apply to, but I don't know if Sheila Hicks is a tactical tough gal, but I know she's beloved by her husband Larry, as today they're dedicating this day. It's their 31st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So congratulations, Larry and Sheila. They live in Perrysville, Indiana. And their daughter, Whitney, she turns 29 today.
So. On their anniversary?
Yep, 29. Oh, wow. So happy anniversary.
So they spent their
Whitney.
Anniversary in the hospital giving birth to their daughter. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that'd be an interesting first Valentine's Day for them.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of verses, and I thought how appropriate to share those with everyone today, this being Valentine's Day and us all spreading the love around. But I have opened up 1 John chapter 3, and let me highlight 5 of the verses that you'll hear throughout the day today along with other things. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God! Exclamation point. So how great is the love the Father has lavished on us and all of us. Hopefully most everyone tuned in today could testify to that, that being very true. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Mm-hmm. Kind of a proclamation there. Yeah, if we do experience God's love, therefore we should learn to love one another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. That would be the overflow or the evidence of his love. When you get to know something, the evidence of it is doing it. My wife will always say, you know, I'll say, well, you know, hey, did you make that from this cookbook, that one cookbook? And she'll say, well, it's the evidence that I read it. You know, the evidence that you read something is that you share the knowledge from it. The evidence from a cookbook is that you make a meal. And so the evidence of our belief that God is love is us loving others.
Mm-hmm. Is it easy? Yes.
Let me think about that for a minute. No.
It can be hard at times. Okay, the third verse out of 1 John, this is chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us.
Right, and so that, you know, to piggyback on the conversation that we just had a moment ago with the last verse, is that this is the power of understanding how we love. So when we say, well, how do we love people? Because that's difficult. It's messy. It's dirty. It's hard. I have to think in 30 years of marriage that there was probably many times where loving was not easy or the easiest thing to do. And so we have to remember that the love that God had for us and how he defines love, because he becomes the definition. When I go, gosh, how do I love people? How do I walk along people in a loving way? Well, I have to go back and look at how the Father walks along with me in a loving way, because I'm not easy to love. You're not easy. None of us are easy to love. And yet God loves us with an everlasting love. That's what, for me, is so powerful about the book of Hosea. Because in the book of Hosea, you've got this woman, Gomer, who just keeps going off on her own way, her own tangents, her own desires in very heinous and horrible and wicked ways. By the way, the book of Hosea is not really the book you read on Valentine's Day. but basically, I mean, she just becomes a harlot to many other men. And yet Hosea, the prophet Hosea, God keeps saying, go back and get your wife Gomer, forgive her, bring her back, love her as I've loved you with an everlasting love. You're mine. You can return. And so just this understanding that the love of God transcends all of our transgressions, and the proof of putting in that is that he sent Jesus, that while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus. And so we can learn so much about what it means to love by looking at the Father's love.
Hmm. Very good. 1 John chapter 4. I love that response.
Thank you. Geez. This is just so loving broadcast today.
Yes. Spreading the love. 1 John 4, verse 21. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother, love his neighbor, love, you know, not just a brother loving a brother, but all of us learning to love others. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And then 1 John chapter 5, and this is verse 5, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Oh, yeah, this whole 1 John, it'd be recommended reading for today. And, you know, as I was paging through these, as we dedicate this day in honor of Larry and Sheila Hicks of Perrysville, Indiana, and their daughter Whitney, 29th birthday, married 31 years today. But the beginning of 1 John, I was looking at chapter 2, the heading, Do Not Love the World. Many of us have memorized that. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And I just thought, just 1 John's a great reading.
It really is, and it is a real corrective for us when we get off track in terms of what love is. What's funny is you read the verse, I think it was chapter 4 and verse 21, for this dedicated day. There's a verse that's really a difficult verse. It was a verse that my son came home from youth group one week. This was months back. And they had discussed this verse. And, you know, my son comes in, and I probably have told this story in many different places, so it's not a new story. And as I get older, I find I tell the same stories over and over again. And somebody told me that's just part of aging.
Yeah.
and the long suffering of my friends who just look at me and go, But my son came home, and when my son wants to talk to me, sometimes he doesn't necessarily go, hey, Dad, can we talk? He kind of just paces in front of me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and then I kind of got to go, do you want to talk? Do you need to talk? Because sometimes he just doesn't know. You know, he's like a bottle that's been shook, and he doesn't know how to pop the cork. And so, you know, he's kind of walking in front of me, and I said, Jacob, is there something you want to talk about? He's like, Dad, but we talked about this verse tonight. It's just really bothering me, and it's in 1 John, and it's 1 John 4:19. Actually, it's 20. 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And my son was like, Dad, there are people that I don't love, but I love God. But if I love God and I don't love them, then I'm a liar. And I'm like, well, that is what it says. And he goes, what do I do? I go, well, you love them. He goes, well, what does that mean? I go, well, first of all, let's define this. You have to love them. You don't always have to like them. And so that's two different things. Loving them is showing compassion and empathy, suffering with them, understanding where they're at, understanding their plight, being ready, even if you don't agree with them, to reach out and to love them. Liking them, you know, it doesn't mean you have to spend a long time with them. You have to dedicate your life to them. It doesn't mean any of those kinds of things. But it does mean that we leave our heart open and tender to love even those that we disagree with. You know, Jesus says, love your enemies. And when you think about it in terms of being a Christian, what a difficult command that is, to love my enemies, because my enemies are not people that I agree with, nor are they people that I like. But I think that when we love people who we don't agree with or maybe don't like or any of those things, we come to a place where our compassion is kind of confounding to them. You know what I mean? Where they kind of are like, wait a second. I mean, we don't agree on a darn thing. I'm pretty sure you don't even like me. Why are you helping me? And it's in that moment, I think, that then we can begin to talk about how Christ compels us to do the thing that makes no sense in the world. I mean, when we think about largely the ministry of Jesus, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It didn't make sense to the disciples as they watched him being hung on a cross, and they just thought, like, gosh, we've lost here. And yet in that moment, God's love was absolutely evident in the salvation that was going to come to the people in 3 days as Jesus rose victoriously. And so I think that, again, we always have to go back to God and say, God, how do you define these things for me? Now, it's very interesting when Jesus is asked about why he does what he does. And Jesus is like, I'm just all about the Father's work. I mean, Jesus kept going back and going like, Dad, what do you want to do, Father? What do you want to do, Father? What do you want to do, Father? And intimately, bringing himself to understand what the Father wanted. And I think for us as Christians, one of the things that we do miss sometimes is going back to the fountain and the well, which is the book, the Bible, and seeing what God wants us to do and learning from God so that we can be more like him. We can reflect him in ways as we love and serve. And so all that to say, you know, as we bring the horse and the carriage back around, is I think that that is what marriage is. You know, when we talk about 31 years of marriage, I think that that's what that is. That is learning what love is. That is continually needing to come back to the well. I have to believe that at some point in all those years, there were moments like, what do we do? Like, what do we do? Every marriage at certain points hits impasses where it's like, how do we go forward? And this is where I hope Larry and Sheila share this testimony of 31 years with younger couples. Because younger couples need to know what happens when the car skids into the ditch. Because what happens then is they need an older couple with 31 years of marriage behind them, or 40, you know, however many years, to be the tow truck that kind of pulls them back out of the ditch and says, okay, this is how you get back on the road. You know, any of us who have skidded off the road into the ditch, whether in a snowstorm or whatever, and there's a moment where you're like, there is no way I'm getting out of this. This is the worst day ever. What do I do? And then when the tow truck guy comes, you're like, okay, it's going to be okay. And so I think that metaphorically, that's what we need in our marriages, is we need people who have been around so long that they own the tow truck and they kind of help pull us back out of those ditches and teach us what love is like. And what better person to do that than a Christian who's been walking alongside the God who is defined as love to teach us what love looks like and what long-suffering and persevering love looks like.
Yeah, love is not always easy. And I think we've allowed culture to define this day and what should go on. It's all this about romantic and intimacy and such. And yeah, that can happen and can be very wonderful. But God has clearly displayed what love is for us and how we're to model that to others.
We ought to celebrate the love that is between us as long as we talk about where that love comes from. Now, if you're secular and you're not a Christian, you're going to end up wrapping that all up in some other kind of like feelings and emotions and all kinds of other things. And love is a feeling and an emotion. But if you're a Christian, when you define love, you go to 1 John and you begin to say, well, I love because God first loved me. That's why I have the ability to do it. I love because I want to be a picture of Christ in my marriage. I love because God is love, and the embodiment of all that God does is love. I mean, God's covenant with his people sounds so much like the marriage vows that we take, and the covenant we make with one another in marriage has a lot of the same things going on, doesn't it? I mean, it has a kind of agape love that forgives. I mean, you'll forgive your spouse of things you would never forgive anybody else for. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you'll do things. I mean, if you had a friend and called you up in the middle of the night, he's like, I just got stuck in my driveway. Can you come help me? You'd be like, you know, I think it's just leaving the driveway and maybe tomorrow we'll get to it. You know, but we'll get up and get our coat on and get our shoes on and go out and help our spouse. We'll be tired and just not feeling good. And we rub my back. Yes, I will. I mean, we'll do things for our spouses that we won't do for anybody else. And I think that's because our marriage has become this picture of how God comes to us. And so I think the danger of today, the danger of Valentine's Day, is Valentine's Day wants to so much celebrate the love between us instead of celebrating the love that came to us. Mm. And so, you know, just that wonderful love came down, you know, down from heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he embodies for us what love looks like. He embodies for us what sacrifice looks like. And it made me think of that hymn, and maybe you'll play it at the end of the program, mm-hmm. You never know. Although you said you got love songs going on all day long over at 89.3.
Yeah, yep.
But Stuart Townsend wrote that beautiful hymn that says, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. And so when you think about that, you think about God's, we use a cultural term, God's Valentine's Day gift to us, his gift of love to us. It so exceeds a box of chocolates. I told my kids this morning as we were around the table talking about Valentine's Day, and we were talking about God's love, I said, just imagine, because my daughter's all excited. She's like, are we gonna get a box of chocolates? Are we? Because they love that. They love, like, you know, guessing which one is, like, which in there, you know. And I love watching them get the one that's got, like, that green stuff in the middle that's, like, toothpaste. And you're like, ugh. Like, ha, 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 ha. But, yeah. But my daughter's all excited about it. And so when we talked about it, we said, look, it is like, in God sending Jesus, it's like he gave you a gazillion boxes of chocolate and the best chocolate the money could buy. It is like an endless sea of bouquets of roses. You know, it is more than you can imagine, his love that he poured out for us. And that's what Stuart Townsend is saying is, would you today, on this day where we so celebrate the love between us, instead celebrate the love that came to us and really get in deep. You know, how deep? I mean, would you pray right now, Father, how deep is your love for me? Would you show me how deep your love is for me? And maybe in that moment you will see a man hanging on a cross, his arms outstretched, and his love being made evident to even those who persecuted him. I think about the centurion and the two thieves who came to faith, you know, in that moment. Not the one thief, obviously, but the other thief who will be with him in paradise. But I think about these forsaken and men who might not have been chosen, but in that moment were chosen by a man whose love was evident to all in ways that confounded so many people. And so I wonder if today, can we just ask the Father, how deep is your love for us? And then out of that, might your prayer be, how deep can I love others? In what deep and meaningful way can I bring the love of God to others that will change their day? You know, maybe as you're picking out the box of candy, you can just go, you know what, Father? How can I love people where it exceeds even this candy? You know, and even like that big one. I mean, that one's like 4 feet wide and 4 feet long, that's like $50, that's like every candy. Like if you show up with that one, all your sins are forgiven for a moment. I mean, how can you, like, love somebody, say, Father, I just want to love people that exceeds in a deep and meaningful way even this. I mean, I think that you'll be driven to sacrifice more in your marriage. I think you'll be driven to love more in your marriage. I think it'll be to persevere more in your marriage. And I wish, you know, sometimes for these dedicated days, it would be wonderful if you could get a little testimony from these people. Because I would love to hear Larry and Sheila's testimony regarding, you know, what does 31 years of marriage look like? Because they could so teach us so much about what God's love looks like.
I think about that verse again. You know, we can love because he first loved us. And I've always been amazed by that illustration that somebody gave, that love existed because in the triune Godhead, you know, which is a mystery. We can't explain how God can be three yet one. But those distinct personalities, that communal, that relationship, whatever went on in the Godhead where there was that relationship where love could exist, that God loved the Son loved the Father, the Spirit and the Father and the Son were all one and yet separate, but love existed in that Godhead, and so it existed before he even created us. And then his extension of that love was to create us, to create this world, to create that redemptive plan, because he knew there was going to be failure and sin, and yet then we have that eternity to look forward to when he fixes it all again.
It's really interesting, because there was a book I was reading by a rabbi, and the rabbi was talking about, it was actually a commentary on Genesis chapter 22, and Genesis chapter 22 is largely always been said to be the first mention of love in the Bible. Take your son whom you love. He says it to Abraham regarding Isaac. And this rabbi said, no. He said the first mention of love in the Bible is in the first three verses of Genesis, when he says, and let there be light. Because the movement of God's heart was towards the world. And what I loved about that is that you could take that statement and lay it on top of John chapter 1, where God sends his Son. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, and I love it, the Message, I think, says, and God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I love it. But I think that's the first movement of love, where God began to move towards, create, and make, and come into relationship with man.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I'm going to close out with a version of How Deep the Father's Love, thanking Larry and Sheila Hicks of Perrysville, Indiana, on their 31st wedding anniversary. And happy birthday, daughter Whitney. She's 29 years old today. Thanks for the resources and the finances so we can provide this God-honoring broadcast to our listeners. And we appreciate all of you tuning in today. Spread the love.
If you see Larry and Sheila, you ought to say happy anniversary today.
That's right. And spread the love. First, spend some time with God, receiving His love, because He does extend it to you. He cares for you. He created you. He wanted you in His universe, and so you're not here by chance or circumstance. You're a part of His plan, and then receive that love and then pass it on to somebody else. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son and make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing love, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, nor gifts, nor power, nor wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.